unto himself. He said, now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. And now skip down to 2 Samuel, if you would, chapter number 6. 2 Samuel chapter 6 said, then David returned, verse number 20, to bless his household. And Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, how glorious was the king of Israel today who uncovered himself in the eyes of the handmaidens and the servants as one of the vain fellows shamelessly uncovered himself. And David said unto Michal, it was before the Lord who chose me before thy father and before all his house to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord over Israel. Therefore will I play before the Lord. Alfred D. Souza made a statement one time. The U.S. Postal Service picked it up and did something with it. That's where I encountered it. Alfred D. Souza said, I always thought if I could just turn 16, life would start. But I turned 16 and life didn't start exactly like I thought it would. So I said, if I turn 18, life will begin. And then it was 21. And then if I could just get married, I could really live life. And then he said, if I could just have kids, and it didn't take him long to say, if I could just get the kids out of the house, life could begin. And then he said, and all of a sudden it dawned on me one day that life is not a destination. It's a journey. So he said, I came up with a novel thought. Are you with me right now? He said, live. Everybody say live. Like you've never been hurt. Work like you don't need the money. And dance like nobody's watching. Tonight I will preach on this first night of Indiana camp. Dance like nobody's watching. Somebody going to help me preach tonight? I'm going to need some help. I said, is somebody going to help me preach tonight? Woo! You can be seated. Object lesson number one. Shake hands with somebody beside you. Oh, you're so good. That was great. Now shake hands with somebody else and say, praise the Lord. Oh, that is so wonderful. Look at somebody else. You don't even have to shake their hand and just say, I am so glad you're here. Now, you see how easy that is? Now, try this. Look at somebody and stick your tongue out. Now, look here. Look here. Good God have mercy. That boy back there did it. He got an ugly tongue. The object lesson is real simple tonight. As long as we're smiling and saying, praise the Lord, we're all cool with that. As long as we're saying, I'm glad you're here tonight, we ain't got no issue with that. But when we go beyond that and we step outside of the proper accepted people skills, something unique happens. Probably wasn't five of you in the building stuck your tongue out. You know why? Because you're not accustomed to doing things like that. That doesn't dwell in that proper social skill thing. You know, when you get around people, if you do stuff like that, they usually put you in a padded room. So you get this mentality about you that I've got to dwell in this nice little polite box, and everybody's got to like me, and everybody's got to think that I've got all of my social skills down to an art. I'm going to tell you tonight, whether we want to admit it or not, there are times that we are affected by the people around us. And I know a little bit about camps. That's why I'm preaching this on the very first night. I know just enough about camps. Like I said, I preached somewhere between 25 and 30 camps, and I know a little bit about young people. And I know that you come in here and you've got on your pretty clothes. I love pretty clothes. And I know that there are girls in here that you're so nice looking and you've got your hair fixed. And some of these guys around here, they're so clean, man. They're so clean. That's a unique word I just encountered. I've got a big black usher in my church. My head usher is taller than I am. He's a policeman. It comes in handy in our church to have an usher that is a policeman. One night I walked in and I had on my suit and my tie was right. And he looked at me and said, "Woo, Pastor, you're clean." Yeah. You know, he said, "That means you look good." There's a difference in being dirty and being clean, I guess, you know, in that sense. But I know that you come to camp and you want everybody to think you've got it all together. People do strange things to try to keep it all together. That's why you come to church on a night like tonight. And some of you folks are already sitting back wondering just how much I'm going to get into this camp, because I don't want people to look at me and think that I'm strange, or I don't want to take a chance on that guy or that girl across the aisle looking at me a little funny. I know all about that. And I'm not saying that's altogether wrong, but I've got to tell you today, we do weird things when we get around people sometimes. I told one church here a while back, I love elevators. Most people don't like them. I love them. You can be in a crowd of 100 people. They can be chattering like magpies. You get in an elevator and the door shut. Any of our conferences and all said, the door shut. Boom, everybody gets quiet. What is there about elevators that people think you can't talk in an elevator? We got a big old Catholic hospital in Beaumont, Texas, where I pastor at. And I love to get in their elevators. I love it because I always wait for the nuns to come in the elevator. And I'm a pretty good sized person. That's why I don't like plexiglass pulpits. I feel like it's a belt buckle or something. But I get in the elevator and I'm so nice and I smile and I wave at everybody and I'll turn around and I let the door shut. And as soon as the door shut, I turn around and say, "I guess y'all want to know what I called you here today for. If y'all are tired of dead church, there's a good church right down the road here. They have apostolic preaching. They have apostolic music. They have apostolic worship." I love it because the nuns will say, "Whew, that's right. Amen." The nuns will get with me because they're afraid I'm crazy. And sometimes I think it would do us all good to get a little bit crazy when we come to church. We are all affected by people. We are all, hey folks, face it. It's not life itself that intimidates us. It's people. My beautiful wife's here tonight, and when we have company over, she tells me, "Brother Sanders, now honey, when company comes, you be good tonight. Don't put your feet on the end table." Okay, darling. But I got news for you. I can have all the company in the world in my house. And as soon as you leave, my shoes are off and my old feet are up on the coffee table. I don't do that in front of people because I got to be proper. Don't tell anybody, but I don't take a shower in my suit. I'm not intimidated by the water coming out of the faucet. But I'm not going to run around without my clothes on in public. Because it's people that affect us. Are you with me right now? Surely somebody in here understands what I'm talking about. And believe me, I'm not saying that feeling is totally wrong when it comes to our social activities or our scholastic activities or our employment activities. Each and every one of these things are built and survive on interaction with others. But I heard your youth president tonight say, "We're going to have deliverance around here." I heard him say that some of you have got problems at home, and this week God is going to give you the power to come over that kind of stuff. Now listen to me well. This is where we get in trouble, because where we in this building get in trouble tonight is when we allow the human intimidation factor to come out of that social environment and to bring that into God's church. Understand with me. I understand acting dignified when you're on the job. I understand acting dignified when you're in school somewhere. But all of that moves and functions on your outward appearance. But I've come to tell you that in the church of the living God, it's just not that way. It's not that way in the church. See if you give me some more monitor. Hey, Indiana, I've come to preach tonight about the power of a spiritual response. There's something about somebody that comes into the presence of God that said, "I don't care what anybody else does. I don't care what anybody else thinks." Woo! The biggest problem we run into in the church is we get so tangled up in our minds. We get so tangled up because we think the church is like the world. We know we got to be dignified out there. But then we come into the church. Now understand with me, I'm just trying to preach a little bit to you today. We think we've succeeded when we've got an office of our own, or we got a title before our name, or we think we succeeded when we've got degrees hanging on our wall. Well, that may help you in IBM. That might help you with AT&T. That might help you with an oil company somewhere. But when it comes to the things of God, He don't care what you got on your wall. He don't care what you call yourself. God said, I just want to know, can you get into the Spirit? Can you get into my presence? I got to do this tonight. I got to do this tonight. When this thing started nearing on me, the Lord spoke to me and told me on the first night that there's got to be a deliverance service here. I'm not going to see you delivered from drugs tonight. That's not my issue. I'm not here to see you delivered from any kind of immorality. That's not my issue tonight. Tonight I've got to see you delivered from the one that sits in front of you, and the one that sits behind you, and the one that sits beside you. Power! Power in the spirit world is so different than power in the natural world. Brother Soundman, help me all you can with Monitor, my brother. I'm going to tell you something. If you want power with God, if you want deliverance to take care of all the things going on in your home, if you want the power to lay hands on somebody around you, if you want the power to bind the devil in your world, you don't get it while worrying about who's around you. You've got to respond to God. You've got to respond to God. Jesus said one day, whom do men say? Everybody say socially. He said, whom do men say that I am? And Jesus snags their mind into the social factor. I want to know what people think. I want to know what people say. I want to know what people are intending. And Jesus says, whom do men say that I am? And oh, he had a ready audience there. There was some that jumped up and said, some say that you're John the Baptist. Some say that you're Elias. Some say that you're one of the prophets. And all of a sudden Jesus said, all right, now whom do you say that I am? Watch out now. Humanity's being put on the spot. Jesus said, whom do you say? I'm not worried about anybody else right now. I want to know what you feel. I want to know what you think. I want to know what you intend. I want to know, whom do you say that I am? And suddenly, the same men get preoccupied with the dirt under their feet and start kicking around. Been fishing lately? Hey, what about this weather? Old Peter stood that as long as he could stand it. And old Simon Peter jumps to his feet and he said, I don't care what Andrew does. I don't care what James and John does. Let me tell you something, Jesus. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And what happens next is what you've got to see. Jesus forgot about everybody else. And he said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. For flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I'll give to you the keys to the kingdom. And whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loose. God ignored everybody else and gave power to one man that broke the chains of human intimidation. I've got to preach what I'm preaching tonight. God didn't say, I'm going to give you an office. I'm going to give you a title. He said, I'm going to put dominion in the hands of humanity. Hey folks, if y'all want Sunday school camp, you have to give somebody else. I ain't good at preaching to little kids. But I've come to preach to you like soldiers tonight. I've come to preach to you like warriors tonight. It's time for us to understand the power of an apostolic response. There comes a time in the presence of God, you've got to respond no matter what anybody else does. Peter found dominion and authority because he knew what it was like to break off the chains of human intimidation. I'm going to preach to you for a little bit right now.
We need to become aware that success in God, power in His Spirit, is not predicated on what we look like to those round about us. There's an advertisement that was circulating around here a while back that said, image is everything. I've come to tell you we were going to be in trouble if we allow that spirit into the church. Our power is only predicated on our response to God. Understand that we are surrounded by flesh, but I am not bound by your flesh. I've got news for you. I'm going to have church this week whether you want it or not. I'm going to have a move of God this week whether you want it or not. I'm going to have an outpouring this week whether you want it or not. And yet, Brother Keller, we have people in our churches that come to church, and Brother Bowman, they leave just as weary and just as destitute and just as tormented with just as many problems. They know in their heart if they press their way into His presence, God would take care of it. They know in their heart if I'll reach beyond myself, God's going to give me the answer. But they sit there hurting and hindered because they fear what others are going to say, what others are going to think. They are captives of other men's opinions. Right now, on this first night of camp, okay, you just let me move with the Holy Ghost a little while. You can be seated. On this first night of camp, I know I've preached a few camps in my day. There's some of you that are going to wait till Friday night to get your touch that's going to carry you. There's some of you that are going to wait till later in the week to get a hold of something that will change your world for a day or two. But I've come tonight to tell Indiana, God don't want it to be that way. God wants you to get a revelation tonight that if I learn how to respond to Him, He's going to give me the power. I don't have to go home hungry. I don't have to go home weary. I don't have to go home thirsty for a move of God. Hallelujah! Could you imagine what it would be like to be within touching distance of the Almighty and still dying? Within touching distance of His presence and still leaving miserable and struggling? Well, pardon me for being so blunt tonight, but I refuse to be stalemated because a few deadheads don't want to worship. I refuse to be stalemated because you're sitting around a few people that don't want to get up. They're afraid they're going to mess up their pretty hair. They're afraid they're not going to look macho. I dare you tonight to get out of your seat and let your neighbor know you're not going to stop God this week because you're not going to stop me this week. You're not going to stop the healing this week because you're not going to stop me. You pardon me for being blunt tonight, but I can't find anywhere in the Word of God that God ever gave power to somebody who was intimidated by people. I got no boy in my church. I love him to death. He ain't got no sense, but I love him. You can be seated. Name's Crackhead Fred. Well, that's really not his name. His name's Fred. We just call him Crackhead. Because when he come to church, he had smoked so much dope, he didn't have a tooth in his head. And poor old Fred, he just, God love his heart, he don't know no better. He's ignorant. He just loves God. And he gets excited about church. I sit right here on my platform, or I did then. And old Fred would get so excited, Brother Mitchell, brand new convert. I'd be sitting there just worshiping God. I just thought this is the greatest thing. You know, God's moving. Somebody was up preaching one night, and old Fred got so excited, he got up and he started running back and forth. And finally, he come up on the stairs, and I looked at him. I didn't know. I didn't see it coming. I didn't know when it was going to happen. He kept looking at me. Every time the preacher would say something, he'd go, ooh, not a tooth in his head. And he'd say, ooh. And I'd just look at him and smile. And all of a sudden, I saw him. He got up on that front step. And he'd start going, ooh. Well, I don't know what the preacher said because he knocked it out of me. Well, that man said something, and old Fred got up and said, my God, did you hear that preaching?
And he hit me. I'm his pastor, for God's sake.
I know that's good preaching, ain't it, son? I thought, now, I could take him out with a right hook, but I'm not sure I'd be godly. And he went on preaching a few more minutes. And so help me God, I got so wrapped up in the preaching, I didn't see Fred get up on that first step. And I didn't see him clamor to the second step. But holy Jesus, when he hit me that second time, he liked to have knocked me out of the seat. I'm a big boy. And I looked at him and I thought, I will lay hands on you suddenly. And the man in the pulpit, he just enjoying the preaching. So I thought, okay. So I put my hand back here on the pew because I intended to worship a little. Oh, God. And I put my hand back here. And old crackhead Fred made the first step. But I saw him this time. And he made the second step. And I saw him that time. And all of a sudden the preacher said something. I don't know what he said. He could have said there was three gods. It didn't matter to me. When he did, I got so excited, I slapped Fred off the platform. He landed back out in front of the altar. I jumped up and said, my God, did you hear that preaching? We need a few more crackhead friends in the church. We need a few more people that don't understand the proper protocol.
But oh, sit down a minute. I'm about to preach here in a minute. Fred was everywhere. Fred was crazy. And finally he did go get him some teeth one night. I don't know where he got them at, but it scared me to death. I looked down on the front row. I was used to seeing him go. This night, I looked down on the front row. He went. I told my boy, I said, son, what's wrong with Fred? He said, I think he got teeth. What's this? Fred was a little radical. And I had this blessed joy killer in the back of the church. And she come up to me after church, and I love these kind of people. She said, Brother White, we got a problem around here. I said, we do. She said, oh, we got a problem. I said, well, what kind of problem we got? She said, you see that guy up there with no teeth? Yeah. She said, he is going to embarrass us. I said, you reckon? I said, oh, look at him. People are going to think we ain't got no dignity around this church because he ain't even got no teeth. And he's up there screaming and shouting. I said, sister, teeth was not a prerequisite of shouting. Watch this. Same service. She said, we got to do something. And I said, well, what you expect we ought to do? She said, I'm not sure yet, but you need to be thinking about it. I said, all right, I'll do that. And so help me God, it wasn't 5 minutes later, here come crackhead Fred. He said, Pastor, we got a problem. I thought, oh my God. Old Sister Longtongue done said something to him and hurt my new convert. And I said, well, son, what's your problem? And I was all prepared to tell him, you know, some people are just carnal. They ain't got no spirituality to them. And I said, what's your problem? He said, what are we going to do about the deadheads in this church? I said, well, I don't know, Fred. Reckon what we ought to do. And he said, I got me an idea, Brother White. You think I could go back there and sit in amongst them? And if I sat by them, maybe I could stir up a little something? Oh! Somebody shout yes! Excuse me, sisters. Scoot on. I'm going to sit in the middle. I like feeling secure. So sure enough, next service, you can be seated. Sure enough, next service, I look and crackhead Fred parks himself right in the middle of the mortuary section. And I'm thinking, y'all may be worse, but I've been busy. And I watch Fred back there, and I'm thinking, oh, Jesus, please, God. I mean, they may be dead, but at least they're here. Don't let him run them people off, God. And I thought, I got to admit, Brother Jerome, I said, God,
Let him be calm. Let a spirit, that's when the pastor gets real spiritual. Let a spirit of peace prevail. We started, honest to God, we start singing Amazing Grace, because nobody can shout to Amazing Grace except Fred. Amazing Grace. Woo! I'm thinking, oh God. And all of a sudden they start singing. And old Fred can't stand it. And Fred jumps up out of his seat and says, woo! He comes out in the aisle. When he gets out, no, hang on to me. Listen to me. When Fred starts shouting, I see stuff flying everywhere. I said, what in the name of God? He had his foot inside of the woman's purse and he was shouting, drag her purse down. Somebody better listen to me. Somewhere you gotta quit worrying about those around you. Why not tonight? Why not tonight? Why not tonight? Okay. Next service. Sister Long Tongue was sitting up right behind my wife. And I knew that was a firing zone. That's a spit zone right there. And I said, Sister, to what do we owe this? She said, I'll tell you why I'm up here. It's dangerous back there. I got an idea. Why don't you make it dangerous for somebody around you right now? Why don't you make it dangerous for carnality tonight? Why don't you make it dangerous for pride tonight? Somewhere you gotta dance like nobody's watching. I gotta hurry. Sit down a minute. I need a little help here tonight. Every youth camp has got that one fella that picks on everybody. Point him out now. You? All right. You. Come here. Right beside, come here. Come here, my son. Bless you, my child. Come. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. You are going to help me. You really pick on these people? Yeah. All right, you got to help me. I need you to help me. Lay down right there. What are you doing? On your back. Okay, I need a little more help. The two of you that told on him, I want you to come help me. Come on, come on. Good, good, good. All right, come on, I'm on the clock here. I want y'all to lay down on either side of them. Either side of them, that's right. Right there's a good spot. All right, hold his hand. Don't act like you like that. I've got to scoot over a little bit. You're in my way. All right. Watch this. The Bible tells a story about a man named Peter. It said they put him in a dark, ugly prison. And he was chained up to two soldiers. That meant he couldn't turn to the left or the right without being cognizant that I've got people around me. I have got somebody looking at me 24 hours a day. And the Bible said that they were going to take his head off in the morning. Matter of fact, the Bible said that if the sun came up the next morning, they were going to kill him. Can I tell some young people in here that keep saying, I'm going to wait until this night time's over before I start worshiping. I'm going to wait until the storm's over before I get out of my seat. If you lay there till morning, you're going to die. You better learn how to shout in the night. You better learn how to dance in the night. Scoot back over. And the Bible said that suddenly a bright light shines. You know what? Revelation is always signified by light in the Bible. In other words, The word came to him. And an angel showed up. Revelation talks about the minister being an angel. I am your angel tonight, Big Daddy. And the Bible said that the angel said, I got to stir him up a little bit. So the scripture said that that angel said, I got to smite him on the side. And that angel said, that felt good. I'm going to do it again. Bible said the angel sat down on him. No, it didn't. Watch this. The Bible said that he began to speak to him and light came into his world. Revelation came. You know what that revelation was? The Bible said that that angel said, rise up quickly. Hey, you didn't get that. He said, don't wait for your flesh to talk you out of it. Quickly. Come on, somebody. Don't let your fears intimidate you. Quickly. I'm telling somebody, it's time to get up. Don't wait for what everybody else is going to do. You got to get up. Quickly. Quickly. And the Bible said that when he gets up, the chains fall off. And the doors open. And the gates open. And the third set of gates open. I've got news for somebody. The chains will still fall off. And the doors will still open. For those who respond quickly. Can I tell you what you need to understand? God's talking to you now. Quickly. Don't wait for doubt. Quickly. Don't worry about your friends. Quickly. Woo! How many want deliverance in here tonight? I said, how many really want deliverance? How do you know, Brother Bowman? Peter said, now I know for a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and delivered me from the expectation of the people. You know you're delivered when you get above the expectation of the people around you. A minute. I want to tell you how I'm going to know some of you folks are delivered. When you quit worrying about how pretty you are. When you quit worrying about them fine little girls. I'll know you're delivered when you crawl out of that seat and you leave your carnal friends sitting in the dust and say, you're not going to stop me, baby. You're not going to get in my way. If I have to put my foot in your purse, if I have to trip over your legs, if I have to dance in this pew, I'm coming out. I'm coming out. I'm coming out. Somebody clap your hands to the Lord. Somebody shout unto the Lord. You gotta dance like nobody's watching. Can I preach a few more minutes? Be seated. Brother, I need some music. I need some praise singers. I need a drummer. And I don't want you acting like anybody but Pentecostal. Let's have a little throwdown, all right? Get ready. Watch this. David said, I'm the king of God's people. I'm living in God's land. I dwell in God's favored nation. And the glory of God isn't anywhere around me. And David said, hey, I want to tell you folks a secret. Do you know you can come to church every service? And you can sit in the midst of God's people every service. And you can sing the songs of Zion every service. And the glory of God not be anywhere around you. Oh, David said, I ain't put up with it. It ain't happening to me. My God, I want to preach. If you give me just 10 more minutes, I'm going to get done with this thing tonight. He said, I ain't doing it. I'm not going to stay in God's country around God's people and not feel God's presence. It ain't happening. I'm going to have the glory of God. I'm going to enjoy the glory of God. Watch this. So David inquired of the ark. And David said, I want to know where the ark of the Lord is. God knows. I just found something about the Ark of the Covenant that will blow your mind. I wish I had time to tell you where David learned how to worship. Be seated. I ain't got time tonight. You know what we're going to do? We're going to bring the Ark home tonight. I need a little help. Brother Reedy, can I have your chair? Thank you. I got a little nervous tonight when Brother Sanders said, I want all the men to stand up so you can get to your seat. I didn't know what he was talking about to him. He said, we got to take up an offering. All right. Here we go. Need a little help. Brother Sanders, I need you to help me now, Bubba. I love you. Come here. Come here. I'm going to give you a hard time over, but I still love you. Here. Carry the ark. You find me four good men down here that want to be used to God. Hurry. Hurry. Four good men that want to be used to God. Go on. Get one on each corner. Three good men with you. There you go. I don't know if he can do it. I almost stomped him to death. All right, get you some men on each corner. The Bible said that if we're going to bring the glory of God back home, listen to me now, if we're going to bring the glory home, we need preachers that are willing to carry this thing. Anybody believe you need the Word of God? But David said, that just don't seem like enough to me. Back on down the aisle, brothers. Just don't seem like enough to me. He said, we need some musicians and we need some singers because God loves music. God loves men like Brother Jerome. God loves people that love to sing. All right. Be seated. And he looked at this ark and he said, I'm just not sure about all that. Something don't seem right. So I'll tell you what I need. I need some handmaidens that love to worship God. I need about six handmaidens right now that ain't ashamed to worship. Come here, right over there. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Come right now, quickly. Quickly, grab your Bible. If you ain't got a Bible, steal one. Repent at the altar call. Hey, I like that. I made up my mind to like you. Come on, come on, come on. Y'all dragging your feet. Go get behind them men back here. Thank you, sisters. Bless you, baby. Whew. Fixing to have some church around here. Got to get our handmaidens in place. But then he said, you know what? I don't just need preachers. I need men in the church. Men that are strong men. Men that don't have lacy drawers. I need men that know how to shout. Men that know how to dance. Men that know how to worship. One, two, three, four, five, go, six. Steal your necktie, man. Take your necktie off and put it around your head. Hurry, hurry, hurry. So David said, I think we're going to have church here tonight. We're going to get the glory of God back in the church. How are you going to do it, David? The Bible said, hang on to me now. I'm going somewhere. I'm trying to wrap this up. The Bible said that David, he said, we're going to go get the ark. And when we get it, it's going to be bore on the heart of preachers. And when we bring the preachers in, we're going to have ladies that know how to shout and worship. And we're going to have men that know how to dance. What? Watch this. The Bible said, every six paces, they would stop and sacrifice before the Lord. Brother Jerome, every six paces, I want the music to stop and everything in here to shout like nobody's watching. Sing.